Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. God in heaven, we come before you now, humble, broken, desperate, knowing, God, that apart from you, God, we have nothing. We can do nothing. Lord, we need to be restored. We need to be made over. We need to be transformed, God, and your word is the tool to transform us. You take your word and your Holy Spirit, and you wash us clean. You make us over. You shaping us a new man, a new life. And God, that's what we need, Lord God. We know where we come from. We know our past. We refuse to let the devil bind us to our past. Lord, we're in this to win this. We want to go forth in your name to do your work. I pray for those listening, God, that you will build them up on their most holy faith, God. Pour out the Holy Ghost, Lord. Raise us up in these last days to do an end time work so that we can get out of here, God. We look for a city whose maker and builder is God. We're not looking for an eternal home here, God. Lord, I personally want that new body that you made that's eternal in the heavens. So, God, we just humble ourselves down. We open our ears to hear. We focus our mind, God. Lord, help us to concentrate, Father God. The age of social media, the age of technology, God, is impugning concentration and focus, God. Help us, Lord, to just bind our minds down, Lord God, to be able to hear and obey. And we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise ye the Lord. Thank God. The title of tonight's message is, I'm in this to win this. Period. That period is crucial. It's just as important as anything else. It could have been an exclamation point or a comma, but it's settled. I'm in this to win this. You know, life is not easy. If anybody is walking around like everything is beautiful and everything is lovely, they're not in this. They're not in what I'm about to talk to you about in this message. Life is a battle. Life is a warfare. It's intense. Something is always coming at your mind, trying to get you to sin and tempt you and draw you into the flesh. Man, this is a battle. And you have to be in it to win it. This mentality that we're going to discuss in this message basically qualifies you for the victory. It qualifies you for the finish line. Doesn't guarantee that you'll make it to the finish line, but at least you've been qualified. You know, you've been pre-approved. You haven't gotten the loan yet, but you've been pre-approved for the loan. Now, the other 50% of actually winning the battle is actually going through. It's enduring. It's standing in this thing. But it sets you on the right ground. What we'll talk about is going to set you, is going to establish a good foundation and put you on the right playing field. It's like if you were running a race in track and field and everybody else were coming out of the blocks. You know, the blocks is what the fast paced runners, they position themselves in the blocks while you stand. I mean, I want to be on an equal playing field that gives me a fair opportunity to win the race like everybody else. This mentality being that I'm in this to win this for me, puts you on an even playing field. So what are we in? What are we trying to win? Okay. I hear you. I'm in this to win this. What is this? Turn to Philippians 3. Let's go ahead and lay the groundwork and build from there. I'm in what? Philippians 3 answers part of this question. And let's look at verse 7. Philippians 3:7 says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Rubbish is basically garbage. It's dung. It's trash. It's poo poo. He says, I count everything that I've gained as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Listen to this. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Why? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, one, and the fellowship of his sufferings. 2, being conformed to his death. 3, that being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So there's a lot there. But what I want to highlight is found in verse 8. He's saying, I count everything that I've gained as a loss that I may gain Christ. That I may gain Christ. That word gain is the exact same word as win. I'm counting it all a loss, man, that I may win Christ. I'm in this to win Christ. That's why I'm in it. I'm in this that I may win Jesus Christ, the fullness of who he is. And then he lays out the different aspects of how this thing works. The resurrection and the power of it. The fellowship of his sufferings. The resurrection of the dead. Man, I'm in this to be just like my Lord. You know, if you really study and learn about Jesus, you'll find that most people don't really want to follow him. Because if you begin to follow Jesus, he's taking you to the cross. That's why this thing is like nothing you've ever encountered before. He's on the cross saying, come up here with me. Paul just said it. A fellowship of his sufferings. Not of the blessings, not of the joyous things in life. A fellowship of the sufferings. They pricked the hairs out his beard. They put a crown of thorns and smashed it on his head. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. Jesus suffered. He's saying, I want a fellowship with that suffering. I want the life of Christ at the expense of everything that I've gained. So what am I in it to win it for? Christ. Christ. I'm willing to exchange my life for his at all costs. He said, everything I counted a loss. I can't have anything that I'm holding on to with the thought that I may gain Christ. You got to give it all. You got to let it all go. What's the song that the young girl sung? She sung a song. How does that song go? I give all of me. I give myself away. I think that's William McDowell. I give myself away so you can use me. If I don't give myself away, I can't be used. Paul saying, man, I want to be used. I want the Lord to fulfill his purpose in my life. Did you know you have a purpose for why you're here? See, Rick Warren messed it up because he made it all about a purpose-driven life, which is really a purpose-driven lie. If you read The Purpose-Driven Life, which I don't advise you to, you'll find quickly that it's all about your goals and your dreams and not about the Lord. When you encounter Christ, he'll actually cause you to forsake your own dreams and goals, even if they're good. See, a lot of people misunderstand the Lord. They say, but Lord, I have this gift. I can sing. Don't you want me to sing? Don't you want me to use this gift? He says, yes, but you will use the gift as I instruct you to do so. So if I don't want you to sing, it doesn't matter that you had a gift of singing. So what happens? People end up worshiping gifts. They end up worshiping talents. And that becomes their whole life to, you know, fulfill this talent or this dream I have. I'm a good singer. I'm a good artist. That's not what it's about. Everything is counted as a loss that I might win Christ. Is that your conviction? I'm in this for Jesus, man. I'm in this to win his life. That's what this thing is about. Let's look at the second aspect of it, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 9. I'm in this to win Christ. 1 Corinthians 9. The Son of God. Look at verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law as without the law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. So what he's saying there is, it's not that I'm lawless, but I'm under the law of Christ. but I'm identifying with people who are without the law so that I can win them, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So I'm in this to win men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it starts with him. He is the primary focal point. When you get locked on the Lord, he gets your mind locked on people. It becomes about winning men and women to him. Gaining souls for the kingdom of God. You could change that word win to gain those that are weak. You know, when you gain pounds from eating too much, it's added to you. This thing is about adding men and women to the body of Christ. I'm in this to win men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm in this. He says, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now, I'm willing to identify with them without sinning and without, you know, just groveling at somebody's feet. But I'm willing to condescend to men of low estate, the Bible says, humble myself down, become what they are to win them and gain them for the kingdom of God. Notice how he says save some, which means I know that all of them won't come. But those that will, those are the ones I'm after. What's your conviction for souls? The Bible says when Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. When's the last time you wept for souls? Like Nehemiah did when the wall of Jerusalem was burned down. What are you in this for? Are you in this to win people to Christ? Are you in this to get prosperity and get blessings from the Lord? Now this I do, look at what he says in verse 23. For the gospel's sake, I'm doing this for the sake of the gospel, that I may be a partaker of it with you, referring to the Corinthian church. So this is not my idea, man. I didn't think of this. I didn't lay down and dream of winning people for Jesus. Man, I'm in this for the sake of the gospel. This is a high calling, the Bible says. Let's keep reading. Verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. In other words, run to win the prize. Don't get in the race to lose. Don't get in it accepting second place or accepting second best. Man, I'm running in this thing oblivious to who's next to me. I'm running this race for me, and I'm in this thing to win it for myself. You see how it's personal? This thing is personal. It's not about what your wife believes. It's not about what your dad believed before he passed away. It's not about family heritage and tradition. This thing is about a race being run for yourself. I taught a message last month, I believe, entitled Your Race, Your Reward. You got to run your personal race in order to get your personal reward. You're not going to share in mine. If I win the race, you can't get half of my trophy. I'm not going to bring you up on the pedestal with me talking about, you know, let's take a picture. Even though you didn't even get a bronze, you know, talking about you can come up in first place with me. Nah, man, this thing is personal. You got to run it for you. Look at what he says in verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. What does that mean? He's referring to at an athletic competition of racing. He's saying all athletes are disciplined. They are disciplined for the sake of their training to run the race. So you and I must be disciplined. We must be temperate in all things so that we can run the race. Now they do it referring to a person that's in the world, like the Olympics. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. That little wreath that they get placed on their head, that gold is going to fade and be burned up. But that crown that you and I are running for, that thing can't perish. How much more How much more do you run for something that won't perish, that won't die? Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul is saying, in so many words, I'm not playing with nobody. This is not funny. I'm not laughing about this. I'm dealing with my body because my body is the body of sin. Your flesh is the body of Satan. You are walking around. People talk about the devil and man, you are carrying around the nature of Satan in your flesh. This is why you must be born again. People are actually trying to serve Christ without being born again. They've never been told, man, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. You need the life of Christ to combat the life of the flesh that's always trying to pull you down. Notice how when a person passes away and they die, that earthly man, that flesh goes right back to the dust. But the spirit man is either going to go up with God or even down lower past the flesh. When man was created, he was basically three parts in that he was a fleshly man. He was he had an earthly body that was just like clay. And the Bible says God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils and he became a living soul. So man became animated. He became alive when the life of the spirit was breathed into him. So we have life from above in that God has created us and fashioned us in his own likeness and his image. He's given us a conscience. We're moral creatures. We know right from wrong. People talk about justice and, you know, they need to go to jail. See, all of that's a godly thing. Because you don't see no lion in court because he slapped that gazelle upside the head to feed his cubs. You don't see a killer whale being indicted for eating that school of fish. But man, when he forsakes the life of God and the conscious moral part of him, can become an animal. He is able to degrade into the state of an animal. What's wrong with this culture? What's wrong with the age we live in? Man is so rejecting God, so refusing the Bible, so adamant against the word of God that they are becoming worse than animals. Even animals have sense not to have sex with each other. Two male baboons somewhere having sex with each other. You're not going to see that in the jungle. They still operate with enough sense to know you can't procreate like that. I can't have children and my lineage of the lineage of this family lives on having sex with the same sex. So we got a warped society that is degraded away from the life of God. This thing is nothing to play with. Paul says, I'm not laughing about this. I got my eye on that imperishable crown. I'm in this thing to win it for me. And I'm dealing with my body because if the devil's going to get me, he's going to get to me through my flesh. So I have to subject my flesh. One translation talks about in this same verse, I beat my body until it's brought under subjection. I beat it till it's black and blue. I give my body blows. I'm bruising my body to make it submit to the will of God. That's why I say this ain't nothing to play with. You have to have a made up mind. You have to be sober about this thing right here. This mentality of being in it to win it and not accepting anything less is the only way you'll make it. Look at what he says. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. What is he saying? If I don't deal with this flesh and bring it under subjection, I'm gonna be a coward. I'm gonna be a hypocrite just like anybody else that won't submit to this thing. I can't afford to do that, man. I gotta deal with this body of sin. I gotta deal with the thing that the devil has access to. If the devil's going to get to you or I, he's going to get to you through your flesh. So you got to subject your flesh to the spirit so that the spirit man is stronger than the fleshly man. We're going to get into this a little deeper here. I'm in this to win this. I have a goal. I have a focus. It's an imperishable crown. I'm in this to gain Christ. I'm in this thing to win men and women in God, men and women to the kingdom of God. So right there, your life is pretty much set in order. It's focused. You're established. You don't have to be a ship lost at sea. You're not wayward. You know why you're here. This is my purpose. This is why I have been set on this planet, to gain Christ at the expense of everything else. Once I gain Christ, naturally, I'm going to become a servant to all men. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He didn't come to be a glorified, you know, man walking around with a crown on. He came to serve. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, casting out devils, raising the dead, healing the sick. Man, he came as a servant. He came as the Son of Man. He came to lay his life down for others. He was the ultimate depiction of selflessness. This is how you know what you have in front of you. It's very easy to discern. A person that's selfish and full of themselves, and everything is about them, all attention is on them. Or a person that is selfless and it's all about the welfare of somebody else. People talking about, I'm offended. Man, don't nobody care about you like that, man. I'm not saying that being offended is not legitimate in terms of somebody doing or saying something stupid. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is people are so full of self that they are trapped in themselves thinking that you matter that much. Nobody matters that much. To be offended and to hold on to offense and unforgiveness and all that. Yes, we've been hurt. Yes, people have said mean things. The Bible says, forgive, man. Let it go. Let it go. Release yourself. You're not releasing them. You're releasing yourself. You're taking the shackles off of your hands when you forgive. Jesus came to set the captives free. But he did it by laying his life down. He went into the prison. How many people were going to the prison right now to set prisoners free? Most people are like, man, that place is filthy. I ain't stepping foot in there. Jesus went in, man, to open prison cells. That's why you and I are here. So it's all about a prize. It's about gaining Christ. It's about adding to the kingdom of God. And in order to do this, you got to have these four components that I'm about to share with you. Now, this list is not exhaustive. It can be 10 things, but I'm only going to give you four and we'll look at it. The first thing is no excuses allowed. If you're in this to win this, no excuses are ever allowed for why you don't make it. You see this happen to Adam and Eve in the garden. What did Adam say? What did he say? He told God, the woman you gave me, you out of bounds, brother. You are a coward at that point. When you begin to point to other people for why you fall, you a coward and you ain't in it. The woman you gave me caused me to do this. No, man. There are no excuses. If I fall, I fail. I did it. It was on me. If I make it, it's because I put my hand to the plow and I didn't look back. Adam became a coward. He became a little sissy boy when he told God, the woman you gave me caused me to do this. Man, you're not worth the dust that it just took to make you, Adam, for saying that. You're not worth the dust it took to make you. You're a boy, man. You're a boy is what you are. You lost your manhood when you said that. A man doesn't make excuses. I take full responsibility for my sin. I take full responsibility for what I did. The penalty is on me. They got this crazy mentality in the hood where they talk about don't snitch. Don't snitch, man. Don't rat nobody out, man. Don't break the code. They used to call it the G code when I was younger. Don't break the G code, the gangster code. Man, that's stupid, man. If I'm in the car with you and you got 10 bags of cocaine. Buddy, I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to jail. You better take them 10 bags, man. You better be a man and own up to what's yours. And you see it all the time on these shows like The First 48, you know, where all of these guys, you know, they might commit a robbery or something like that. And, you know, they in there being interrogated. Good cop, bad cop coming there. And when they start throwing out them numbers of how long they're going to have to spend in prison, that's when they get to talking. They telling on everybody now. Man, you could have saved all that time, man. Hey, man, look, this is what was mine. Don't nothing else belong to me, officer. I'm taking ownership for what's mine. That's a man. Why didn't Adam take ownership? Why did he let the devil make a fool out of him when God gave him the command? What's wrong with society? Men are not taking ownership of what they have done, what they're responsible for. You left your family. You forsook your kids. You won't man up. You won't be responsible. Stop making excuses, man. Stop making excuses. You'll never win making excuses and pointing to somebody else. Have people hurt you? Yes. Have people done bad things and mean things and things that traumatized you? Yes. Can God heal you from trauma? Absolutely. God says, look, own what's yours, come to me, and I'll fix it. Get into the process where you can be renovated from what the devil is using to make a fool out of you. A lot of people walk around as losers and as bums because they're not willing to confess what they've done in sin. And they hide in darkness walking around. Listen, I've been married for almost 8 years. If I commit adultery, if I do something stupid and leave my wife, I cannot point to her and say, well, she wasn't giving up no sex. This is the excuse that God's made. She wasn't giving it up. She wasn't cooking enough. She wasn't. Hey, listen, any excuse will do, brother. Keep it. Can it? Any excuse will do, man. But no excuses are allowed. And you see God deal directly with Adam. You didn't do what I told you to do, man. Get out of the garden. And we've had a fallen society ever since Adam and Eve fell. And you see men walking around like this today. Unwilling to confess what they've done. That's impugning society. God didn't even talk to Eve until he cursed her. Women are a reflection of what men are. All these women walking around half naked. In yoga pants, thong clad on the beach, that's a result of what the men are. When the men take responsibility and man up and show a woman what she's supposed to be, a woman will put clothes on, she'll be dignified, she'll get her virtue back. This thing is about a man stepping up to the plate, owning what you've done, repenting from what you've done, and not making excuses. No excuses are allowed in this army. You want to make excuses? Don't come over here, man. You're not allowed. The door is closed because there are no excuses. If God sent the Holy Ghost to empower us, what excuses can I make for failing? What can I legitimately say to my wife that she didn't do to leave her and break my family apart? You have to make it up in your mind. I'm in this to win this, man. I'm not going out like that. Romans 13, verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. What is provision? Don't provide an opportunity to sin. Don't put yourself in a place where you're going to fall. Cats going in the strip club talking about I'm evangelizing. Man, you a fool. Especially if you come from a background of whoredoms. I'm going to go win the stripper off the stripper pole. Are you crazy? Why would you go to a bar if God is in the process of delivering you from alcoholism? You're going to go back to the bar. You're going to go back to the strip club. You are making provision for your own flesh. Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lust, buddy, run. This stuff ain't nothing to play with. Ain't nobody laughing. You give the devil a door, you give him an inch, he gonna take a mile. It's a warfare. You gotta be in it to win it. God gives us wisdom so as not to make a foolish decision and embarrass yourself. Look at all the preachers who have fallen, being caught in a room with some whore somewhere. You don't end up in a hotel room butt naked with a prostitute talking about, I don't know what happened. Say, man, stop playing games. Nobody's playing them kind of games anymore, man. I had a conversation at my job last week talking about Carmelo Anthony and how he did La Anthony. Obviously, I don't know all the details, but the point I made was Carmelo Anthony is a boy. He's not a man. Why? A man commits. He commits. If he was a man, he would be committed to La, and they wouldn't be going through this public disgrace on their relationship like they are now. I said a man commits and boys play with toys. Buddy, that started a fire. But it don't make no difference. It's not up for discussion. That is not a debatable topic. A man has put away his Tonka trucks. Why is a boy, what makes a guy a boy? What is it that makes him a boy? If he's laying in a bed of fornication and shacking up with a woman, having sex with her, not committed to her as his wife, you know what he'll do? He'll look at her and say, you know, I'm through with you. There's no commitment here. I'm not chained to you. I'm not tied to you. There's no covenant between you and I. I'm on to the next babe. No commitment. A boy playing with toys. When I got married to Latika, July 18th, 2008, I believe. Yeah, 2008. can't afford to forget my anniversary. She looked at me while we were standing there going through our vows. She said, why you look so serious? Why you not smiling? Man, I was dead serious giving those vows. I was dead serious about the commitment that I was about to make to her. And it was not funny. That was not funny to me. Now, I laughed and, you know, danced and all that and smiled in the pictures. But in that moment that I was committing my life to this woman, I was not laughing. I was not kidding around. We're playing too much about serious matters. I looked her in the face and I said, till death do us part. And I meant that with every fiber of my being. It'll be 8 years. It's not 30 years or 50 years, but it's been 8 strong years where God is building our marriage. And I give God the glory for that. Pastor Price and Sister Barbara celebrated 30 years last month. Matter of fact, the beginning of April. No, the end of March. 30 years of marriage. Why? Commitment. Not being a boy. Not looking for a reason to leave. Not looking for a reason to sin. Being in it to win it, man. I'm in this thing to see it through to completion. I'm in this thing to the finish line. If you're single, man, be single. Be in it to win your singlehood. What do you mean, Rashid, win my singlehood? Don't get caught up in a bed of fornication. Don't get caught up somewhere being lonely and depressed and then giving in to something stupid. I'm going to be single. I'm going to commit my life to the Lord, and I'm going to be about the Father's business. If God sends me a husband, thank God for it. If he sends me a wife, praise the Lord. If he doesn't, I'm a master single. I'm going to be a master at being a single. I'm going to win my singleness. You understand what I'm saying? If you got kids, be in it to win it for your kids, man. Pray your kids through to the Lord. If you own a business, be in it to win it in everything you do. In everything you do, this approach applies. I'm not making excuses. I'm not looking for a reason not to do. People are looking for reasons to be offended. Wrong mentality. So the first aspect of this is no excuses allowed. You'll never make it if you're looking for reasons and excuses. People use reasons which are really excuses. Man, get your manhood back. get your testicles back. Lady, get your ovaries in place, which are nothing more than the testicles of a man. Get yourself back intact so that I'm not looking for something for somebody else. The Bible says nothing from without a man can defile a man. That means nothing outside of me can defile me. Nothing outside of me can impugn my salvation and my success in the Lord. So if something does impugn my salvation, I let it in. I yield it to it. The devil can't tempt you. He can tempt you, but if you don't yield to the temptation, he got nothing. Somebody come to your door, knocking at your door. You don't open the door. You don't even know who it was. They don't exist to you. You see in the movies where people crack the door, you see that they'll stick one eye through the door. I ain't even cracking the door. I ain't sticking one eye in the door. I don't want to know. You can't come in. You can't come in. The second aspect is failure is not an option. My marriage, there's no option in my marriage for it to fail. We're making no provisions to fail, no provisions for it to go under. People talk about my marriage is on the rocks. Somebody in the flesh. Somebody's not laying down their life and serving the other person. I posted this on Instagram the other day. I said, marriage, two excited slaves. And the key word is excited. You got to maintain a level of joy and excitement about your spouse. You were happy and smiling the day you got married. You got to maintain that. You got to fight for that. You got to keep that in your marriage to keep that thing alive. And then you're a slave. You're a servant. You're giving yourself wholly to your spouse. That's the only way this thing will work. In the Garden of Eden, what God did was he put two trees in the garden. There were multiple trees, but he put two primary trees. And he said, the tree of life, you got that. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, don't touch that tree, essentially. Don't touch that tree. Now, that was the tree that they ate from. We know what happened, right? I call the tree of the knowledge of good and evil the tree of opportunity. It was the tree of choice. How can you choose if you don't have options? How can you say, I love Chick-fil-A if there's no other restaurant in town? If they put a Burger King next to Chick-fil-A, now you can say, I love Chick-fil-A because you have a choice. God put two trees and he said, choose me. God wants to be chosen. Did you know that? God wants us to choose him. He wants us to seek him out. He wants us to find him. The Bible says he's around. He's in us. He's right around us. We just got to grope for him. We got to grasp for him. It's in him that we live, move, and have our being. But if we don't grasp and grope for the Lord, we'll never find him. So clearly, Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. It's all about choices. Failure is a choice. If I choose and leave the door open for failure, guess what? I'm probably going to fail. I'm probably going to fail. People get married with that option in their back pocket. You know, if this don't work, why would you even say that? Why would you take on a mentality that if it doesn't work, doesn't guarantee it will, but why would you even think like that? What if Dunamis Tabernacle doesn't rate? See, you're not in it. You're not in it to win it. Our minds have to be totally reshaped. Where I see progress, man. I see this thing moving. I'm not looking at what's not happening or what's negative. Man, I'm looking for the beautiful things of life. I don't ignore the negatives. I'm not an ostrich with his head in the sand. But I'm looking to see this thing manifest. I'm looking to see the finish line. The tree of life was an option for Adam and Eve to choose. They made the wrong choice. So that's the second aspect. Failure is not an option. The third aspect, plan B is to make plan A work. Plan B is to make plan A work. There is no plan B. I'm not looking for something else to do. I'm not looking for somewhere else to go. My plan B is to make the primary plan work, and that's how I'm going out. I'm not looking for another race. a lot of people will leave the truth and go to something like Calvinism or Hebrew Israelite or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, which are all cults, which are all lies, because they didn't want to get in the battle and fight. You got to fight in this. You got to fight for your sanity. You got to fight for your salvation. The devil ain't going to lay down. He's not going nowhere. He's not backing off of you. That's why this thing is about commitment and being in it to win it, because the devil ain't backing off. He's not going nowhere. So you got to have a certain mentality to get in this. The devil going to be right up on you, breathing down your neck, and you got to be willing to stand 10 toes down and fight that joker. That's how you got to be in this. Not saying, well, what if I get in it? The devil. All right, go back home and just, you know, watch soap operas or watch Steve Harvey or T.D. Jakes on TV or something like that. You're not cut out for this. Look at 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Look at what this says. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. May be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, over time, your submission, your chaste conduct, has the potential to win your husband. Be submissive. He's not saved. Don't start talking about him. Don't be in prayer just, you know, talking about your husband. Be submissive. Have a chaste, humble, discreet, quiet spirit, and believe for his salvation. That attitude and that mentality has the ability to win that man over. Because what I found and what is true is, it's hard to resist a godly person when they're right up on you. It's hard to resist them, boy. You got to be a real live devil to resist a godly person that's there trying to wash your feet. Come on, baby, let me wash your feet. No. That's hard, man, to do over time. So he's saying, look, commit to the process of winning your husband through a chaste, humble, gentle, meek, and quiet spirit. I encourage all wives that's married to your husband that's not saved, live like that and watch God work. Believe God that over time, he'll break that man's heart and say, man, I can't resist this woman, man. She is, man, what must I do to be saved? Will be his cry. Believe God for that. So the third thing is, plan B is to make plan A work. The fourth thing is, nothing really matters. Nothing really matters. If nothing outside of me can defile me, then nothing from that standpoint really matters to me, man. I'm in this thing for me. I am a committed soldier in the army of the Lord. If you're going, good and fine, we can fight together. But if you're not going, it has no impact on my salvation whatsoever. People come, people go. It doesn't make a difference because it's personal. This is my race. This is my fight. This is my marriage. These are my kids. I got to make this thing work, whether anybody stands with me or not. Look at Acts 20. Let's look at a man who was like this. And I got to speed up a little bit here. Acts 20. Let's look at a man who was like this. Verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. This is the apostle Paul talking to the elders in Ephesus. He's saying, you know, the way I lived. Serving the Lord, verse 19, with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see there how that works. You repent towards God, but you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins. That's how that works. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Look at what he says. The Holy Spirit has told me and showed me that where I'm headed, chains and tribulations, painful experiences await me. But because I'm in it to win it, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why, Paul? Why? So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Man, man, I'm inspired when I think of that. He's saying, I know what awaits me. Chains, bondage, they might kill me. My life is not dear to me, man. What's dear to me is that imperishable crown. What's dear to me is running through that finish line and finishing the race that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me. Buddy, that's another type of person right there. That nothing matters in terms of impeding my progress. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's keep reading. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I told you everything you need to know. I didn't hold back the truth and unrighteousness like these lying, like these false pulpit pimps, only giving you parts of the word and holding back the other aspects of the word that are beneficial. The lies of tithing and prosperity and your best life now. All of these are pieces of the word of God. Tithing is in the Old Testament. That has nothing to do with the New Testament believer. Tithing does not apply because God don't want your measly 10%. He wants all of you. 100% is the only thing you can give to the Lord that he'll accept. A complete and total offering. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, present your body as a living sacrifice. You got to give him your body. In your body is the few dollars that you got. The whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. What did he say? When I leave, I've set forth the example of a righteous minister. I labored, I prayed, I fasted and sought God with tears on your behalf. When I leave, the cowards are coming. The cowards and the wolves are coming. Matter of fact, he says, some of you that I'm talking to are cowards. You are going to try and get people to follow you. No man wants another man to follow him. You'll never see that on this planet as in terms of a man calling himself a man. You got a boy you're looking at. You got a coward in front of you. I don't need anybody in terms of some other man being my covering. You got some serious problems. You're not in it for you. You in it to be an altar boy, to take that man's Gatorade up to the altar or whatever you call it. Man, I've been down this road before. I know what I'm talking about. Carrying another man's Bible because I ain't got my own pair of gonads. Now, does that mean you can't serve and help the body of Christ? Absolutely not. But buddy, I'm in this thing for me. I'm in this thing for me, man. Look at what he says. People are going to rise up right from the group that I'm talking to lead people after themselves. Come follow me. all cults are behind some man telling him to follow me to drink a vat of poison. What's the guy out in Waco? I can't think of his name. Following a man. If you're going to follow any man, let it be the man Christ Jesus. Every minister and servant in the body of Christ is there to aid your progress in the church. Not somewhere looking for you to be a booty boy or follow me. Man, get from around me, man. I don't need nobody around me like that. Following after themselves. This is cowardice at its best right here. You got guys talking about their ministry and the people that follow them. Buddy, you a coward. You're not in it for you. You in it to look like something and be something to the people. That ain't how this work. Because if the person right next to me gets blown away in a gunfight, man, I got to keep fighting. I got to keep trucking. I'm not going to faint because you stopped. I'm in this to win this. Do you hear me? It's personal. What you do or don't do has no impact on me making it to the finish line. That's how you got to be. You got to be just like that. I got my own armor. I got my own Bible. That doesn't make me a maverick and I'm out on an island and unable to fellowship with people. It actually yokes me and puts me in fellowship with people that are like that. That's how you know you got a crazy person, because they out somewhere talking about deep revelations, unable to amalgamate in the band of brethren. Man, you're crazy. Peter did this in Galatians 2. You don't have to turn there. You can write it in your notes if you're taking notes. What did Peter do? Peter was eating with the Gentile believers. And when James started bringing the Jewish believers around, Peter stopped eating with the Gentiles because the Jews believed that people still needed to be circumcised. Peter was a hypocrite in that moment. The same guy that stood up on the day of Pentecost, preached, and 3,000 came in, was a hypocrite. He was a coward because he basically had respecter of persons, which the Bible says God has none. Jews and Gentiles are one man in Jesus. They're one man. Peter showed favor over the Jews and left the Gentiles down here. The Bible says Paul confronted him to his face. You a coward, Peter. You a hypocrite. The Bible says he led Barnabas and other people in his hypocrisy. Trying to lead people away from, trying to lead them back to the law. The very thing that can't accomplish righteousness is what he was attempting to do. You can't be righteous by the dictates of the law. The Bible says in Galatians 2 at the very end, if you can be righteous by keeping laws and commandments and rules, Christ died for nothing. Paul went on to say in Galatians 3 at the very beginning, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who put a spell on you to think that you can finish this race by the works of your flesh? You started out in the spirit. Now you switch gears and got in the flesh. Peter, he got back on track, but in that moment, he was a hypocrite, leading other people in his hypocrisy. He got back right and made his stand for the Lord. But I mean, come on, man. You see the same thing happening. These little groups and cliques that people form where somebody's the leader, sectioning them off from the collective body of Christ. It's hypocrisy. It's cowardice at its best. That's not what this thing is about. This thing is about being committed to Jesus Christ as the head of the body and being yoked to the body of Christ. Every part is valid. The eye is valid. The hand is valid. The feet are valid. Every aspect of the body of Christ is valid, so long as they're joined to the head. Mark 14, you don't have to turn there. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked the Father, he said, listen, is there another way to accomplish saving all of humanity? He was talking about the cup of suffering. He said, let this cup pass from me. The answer came back, no. You must go to the cross. Jesus says, not my will, but thy will be done. He was already crucified on the cross at that point. When he made that commitment, he was a dead man. He was a dead Jew hanging on the cross. Everything else was a formality. Now look at this. He committed to go all the way through with being crucified for the sins of humanity while having a girl in the bunch. Who was that? Judas Iscariot. How was he a girl? Look at how Judas betrayed Jesus. I was talking to Jeremiah about this earlier today. I said, Judas came and kissed the Lord. They call it the kiss of death. Judas kissed the Lord. Ain't no man kissing another man. You're a homosexual, man. You're effeminate. You're a female inside. Why are you kissing me, Judas? You're betraying me. Now you're kissing me after betraying me to the Pharisees and Sadducees to crucify me. You always been a devil. Jesus knew he was a devil. But he wasn't committed. He was a girl inside. And he was exposed for what he was. What you find is, anytime you have a girly man, he can't be around the brethren. He can't be with the guys and just be a guy and go shoot pool or go bowling. He's somewhere offended and feeling some type of way in his emotions. His he-motions, like T.D. Jakes taught about. You know what, man? Don't come, brother. Don't come. You a boy. You still playing with, you still want to play PlayStation and 2K and all that. You're a boy still playing with toys. You're not going to be able to assimilate with the brethren. That's a guy that's offended talking about what you said to me and how you said it. And hey, look, bruh, you can't walk with the brethren, man. It's all good. Go in, you know, be comforted in the strip club. That's why men do this. They won't get in a battle. They won't get in it to win it. And they somewhere in a strip club looking at a naked woman. Because you a female inside. You won't get in the battle. You won't commit to the warfare. Like I told my coworker with Carmelo Anthony, he's a boy. He's not a man. They got mad at me saying, who was I to call him a boy? If I'm committed to my wife and I'm fighting to be faithful and fighting to keep myself pure before the Lord, that's true manhood. Not somewhere making excuses for why I want to leave and why I committed adultery. You're a boy, man. You're a boy laying in a bed of fornication, not willing to commit to that woman. Boys play with toys. Men commit. Men get in it to win it. Men don't make excuses. Men don't look for a plan B, plan C. We're talking about manhood. We're talking about womanhood. We're talking about stepping up to the plate. We're talking about seeing this thing through to the end. We're talking about being in it to win it. Jesus committed to the cross. The Bible says he endured the cross, despising the shame. He saw the joy that was set before him. He saw you and I bound in sin, knowing that he could set us free if he went all the way through. What did he say at the end of that whole experience? Before he gave up the ghost, what did he say? It is finished. I did it. The door has been opened for you to come back to Father God and have your sins cleansed through the blood that was shed. It's finished. I won it because I was committed. He was in it to win it. He followed through on the commitment, and he was able to say, it is finished. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, writing to Timothy, telling him, I'm charging you to commit these teaching to faithful men. Don't give it to cowards. Don't give it to hypocrites. What'd he say? Demas has forsaken me for this present evil world. All of these folks don't want to go. Forget them. Let them go. Let them fall by the wayside. Commit what I'm teaching you to faithful men that will charge other people, that will carry the torch of the kingdom of God. You're not going to pass the torch that should be carried, that light that should be burning, that bloodstained banner to a coward, to somebody who's not in it, to somebody who don't want to see this thing through. He gave it to Timothy and said, man, do it. What did he tell him? I fought the good fight. I ran the race. Now is laid up for me the crown of eternal life. Paul was in it to win it. He saw that thing through to completion. This thing is all about commitment. If I can sum this word, this message up in one word, it's commitment. We need committed women and men that says, you know what? I'm not looking. I'm not looking for a reason for this not to work. I'm not looking for this to fail. I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing God, to see this thing through. This thing is about commitment. This thing is about being in it to win it. This thing is about being consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. The Old Testament priests, the Levitical priesthood, they didn't have a bunch of interests. They were committed to ministering before the Lord. Ministering before the Lord. That's what we need, man. We need the priesthood of believers. We need men to step back up in positions of leadership to be husbands and fathers and show women what a man is like. A man is not chasing behind your behind, chasing behind your behind. A man ain't somewhere chasing skirt tails. A man is about the father's business. That woman comes along to compliment and supplement him, to support and undergird him in the battle. He's not somewhere bound up under a woman, always needing to have sex, looking crazy. Come on, man. Come on. What are you in this for? What is your end goal? What's the end game? I'll wrap this up. Andre Johnson is a wide receiver for the Houston Texans. He just retired. In his retirement speech, he said something very powerful. He said, you know, when I would play, I played angry because I grew up in Miami, Florida, and I never wanted to go back there. He said, I played mad, man, because I didn't want to go back. I saw how we were raised. I saw the struggles that my mom went through, and he broke down. He broke down crying while he was talking about it. See, that mentality right there is what we got to have. That says, I refuse to go back to where I came from. I won't go back. I don't care what the devil does to me. I don't care how he tempts me. I don't care what he throws at me. I don't care the imaginations that come in my mind. I cast them down. I don't care the warfare that he forecast at me. Buddy, I'm going to fight my way through. I talked to Dante Romain. I told him the exact same thing. I said, it's a battle, buddy, but I ain't making excuses. I'm not looking for a way to get out of this. I'm looking for a way to see this thing through. He said, man, I agree. All he could say was, amen. Last scripture, turn to Proverbs 16. I'll read this and wrap it up. Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. It's all about commitment. You'll never win if you don't commit. And when you commit, you have to be willing to die in this. You have to be willing to die on the battlefield. I told my wife, till death do us part. That's my commitment. That's my commitment to this marriage. I ain't leaving you, girl. I'm going to stay with you until death separates us. I don't care what comes at me. Come hell or high water. We're going to make this work. We're going to see it through. We're going to fight. We're going to toil. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to make it work. We live in a generation of cowards, a generation of people who are soft, looking for reasons to quit. Looking for reasons not for it to work. Looking for reasons to give up. Talking about I was distracted. Buddy, you better get focused. Get a single eye. Call a fast. Buffet your body. Close off yourself and sanctify some time before the Lord. That's what it takes. Let me ask you a question. Would you get on a plane if that pilot wasn't committing to getting you to your destination? Would you board the plane if you knew he wasn't committed to get you to where you were going? Absolutely not. But if you knew he was committed to get you to that destination and you died on the way, buddy, you could put me on that flight any day. Because I know he died flying that plane as best as he could. Flying that plane, seeking God, saying, Lord, give me direction. I commit my words to you. Establish me to get to this thing, to accomplish this thing. Buddy, I'll get on that plane any day. But if I know he's uncommitted and he's half-cocked, man, I'll see you around. I'll see you around. That's what we need. Paul said in Romans 8, I don't care what it is, principalities, powers, nor height, nor depth. I don't care how big the fallen angels are. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing created, nothing in heaven can separate me from the love of Almighty God. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Buddy, I can do all things. If you're not in it, get in it. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news, and that Jesus bore your sins on a cross. He became a criminal so that you don't have to die a coward. He's willing to give you your life back, but you got to exchange. You got to turn in this old life, man. You got to let it go in order to come to Christ. If not, you'll die a coward. You'll die making excuses. You'll die offended. Only to stand before Almighty God and have him tell you, you were unwilling to forgive, therefore I am. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Man, get out now. Get out now. Get into this salvation process while you have a chance. Get for real now. You're going to die. Why not die in the battle? Why not die with the boots on, with your boots on? Why not die giving it everything you have, man, fighting the good fight? What's there to fear? David said, whom shall I fear? What can man do to me? The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of death brings a snare. I got to stand before Almighty God and give an account. Man, I don't want to stand there as a fornicator, as a thief, as a robber, as an adulterer. I don't want to stand there as a homosexual. I don't want to stand there as somebody that God didn't bless and didn't create, didn't make. I want to stand there as the righteousness of Christ. I want to stand there renewed after his image because I went through the process. I committed my works to the Lord and let him establish me. Repent. It means change your mind, turn around, and turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Forsake the old life. Forsake what you've been doing and turn to the Lord. Pick up this Bible and begin to eat every page and every word of it. And God will draw near to you. For the Christian, get for real. Stop playing. Nothing is funny anymore. People are dying. This thing is turning into a killing field. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was killed. Peter, James, John, all of these guys were stoned. They were martyred. They were skinned to death. They died in this, man. But they died with honor. They died with valor and virtue because they were committed men of God. They'll stand before God with the not with their chest stuck out, but knowing I died committed. Are you in it to win it? If not, get in it. It's not too late. We preach these messages because it's still time. It's when we stop talking that it's too late. And that time is coming soon. Get in it now while the getting is good. God will forgive you of your sins, but you have to repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's not funny anymore. It's time to wipe the smirk off our face and stop debating folks. Stop talking to these people that are not going. Judas is not going. Demas is not going. They're boys. They're cowards. When Jesus was tempted, he told the devil, "It is written," period. "I'm in this to win this," period. There is no discussion. Don't talk to me. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." It's not up for discussion, man. I'm not debating you. Go somewhere. The Bible says the devil left him because he couldn't intrude upon his soul. That's how you have to be. That's how I have to be. When we make that stand and we make that commitment, you can almost guarantee it. You'll see this thing through to the finish line. He that endures to the end is the same that'll be saved. That's what we got to have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for building us up, Father God. Thank you for charging and challenging us, Lord God. Lord, we need committed men and women that are not looking for reasons to get out or to step aside or to fall away, God. We need folks that saying, "Man, this thing is going to work because God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us?" In Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you are for us and that we can trust you to lead and guide us into truth. You won't bring something on us that we can't bear, God. You won't let the devil have a foothold, Lord God, so long as we don't open the door. God, you are a protector. You are a shield and a buckler, God, when we humble ourselves and yield ourselves to you, God. There's nothing to fear. You said you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, deliver the saints. Lift up those that are hearing this. Save those, Lord, that are uncommitted. Give them the grace to repent and turn around, God, and get in this thing for real. This is 0 hour. It's time to get for real and stop playing around. The Titanic is sinking. Are you on board? Or are you on that lifeboat, which is Jesus Christ? God, thank you for it. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's 8:15, 9:15 on the East Coast. The prayer line is running full tilt. 641-715-3670. 641-715-3670. The access code is 409-367. 409-367. Join the prayer line. Pray. Build up your strength. This thing is about committing, not looking back, not looking to the left or right, and going forward to the finish line. When you get a chance, go to the Omega Ministries website and pull up the Man Up Manifesto. It's 8 tenets on here that tells men what this thing is about as far as manning up. The Man Up Manifesto, read that when you get a chance. Read it every day if you need to. Women, you can read it too, because, hey, this thing is not just about men. This is about men and women working together to accomplish God's purposes in the earth. We'll see y'all back here Sunday for another Sunday service in Atlanta. We love everybody. We're praying for you. Reach out to the ministry. Get registered for the conference. And we'll see you in Palm Coast, Florida come June. Be blessed and thank you for listening.